we're just going to review what we said last week. Last week we focused mostly on Shitas HaRambam. What I wanted to get to this week was the Meiri's usage of the Rambam, where the Meiri really takes the Rambam, but he adjusts it, I think, in a significant way. And then, if we have some time, and I do hope that we do, I'd like to go a little bit further in terms of the Chiddush of the Rambam that we have not yet spoken about. To put it in the terms that we were discussing, Steve at his office, and you know, Steve teaching Torah, or being asked the questions about his impressive manuscript from his colleague, and you know, the Gemara saying that Nachri Shosek B'Torah Chayiv Misa, which we'll take a look at in a second, and the Rambam saying you don't actually have to implement that. So who gave the Rambam the authority to decide that the Gemara is incorrect? The Gemara says Chayiv Misa, and the Rambam says, right, remember we made a big note of this, Makin Oso Ve'Onshin Oso, as Steve put it in his inimitable way, he said all I have to do is beat him up. You know, and that, you know, where did the Rambam come up with that? So, the Nosei Kalim, the super commentaries on the Rambam, were very perplexed by this, and they addressed it in a variety of different ways. So, let's just review the basic Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we were just talking a second ago about Rav, and it's just good to remember that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the last of the Tanai, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's, say such a thing, three greatest Talmidim were Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav and Shmuel took the Torah of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and went to Bavel. Rav founded the yeshiva in Sura, Shmuel founded the yeshiva in Naharda, and they were great.
Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lived in Rome.
Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi traveled to Rome, but he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So then there was a Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan is responsible, ultimately, through his Talmidim, for all of Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay, so that's very, very important. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, just a little bit of a picture of the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Rabbi Yochanan, his chavrusa and brother-in-law was Reish Lakish, right? Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, almost every page in the Talmud. Reish Lakish famously said, right, Reish Lakish was always hanging around by the Jordan River. Reish Lakish famously said when there was a Talmud Chacham coming from Bavel to shake his hand, he wouldn't shake his hand, and he says, I can't stand you Bavloim, you people who chose to stay in the diaspora, chose to go into the diaspora, because you're preventing the Geula for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so he was very militant about... What's that? Reish Lakish was not a convert, but Reish Lakish had a previous career in... organized crime. He was, it just goes to show you, he was an organized criminal. He was, according to the Gemara and Bava Metzia, he was involved in a crime. He was involved in a mugging of Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan famously said to him, Chelech lo raisa, you have to use, you're obviously a very talented person, you're the head of all the bandits, you have to use your koach, you have to use your talents and your capacity for the sake of Torah. So Reish Lakish was not, going to be converted in just a minute. So Rabbi Yochanan was famous for being a very handsome man, and Reish Lakish gives a line in retort. Anybody know this line?
See,
oh, so that's the next line in the Gemara. So the
your looks.
Exactly. Very good. So he says, "You tell me, Chelech L'Raisa, that I'm barking up the wrong tree here. I'm in the wrong career. You're in the wrong career. You're wasting all your time reading Judaic texts and whatnot. You know, Shufrach L'Nashi is what he says. You should be hanging out in the bars and the clubs." So anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan says, you think I'm attractive, you should see my sister. If you return to Torah, you can marry her. And then they became chavrusas. Reish Lakish was a wonderful chavrusa for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan eventually got upset at him, and according to the continuation of the Gemara, zapped him to death. And Rabbi Yochanan regretted it very, very much, because he couldn't find any. They tried to set him up with other chavrusas, but when other people would learn with Rabbi Yochanan, they would just say, yes, Rabbi Yochanan would offer a svara, they said, it sounds good to me. Rabbi Yochanan would offer a different svara, they said, it sounds good to me. He said, you're not a chavrusa, all you are is a rubber stamp, you're a yes man, I can't learn with you. And he walked around saying, Heichat bar Lakisha, Heichat bar Lakisha, where are you, Reish Lakish, where are you, Reish Lakish, you're irreplaceable. And then it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan just died in his grief. Okay, so that was the colorful history of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. Nachri shosek b'terach chayiv misa shenemar teretzi v'lanu Moshe morasha lanu morasha v'lo lahem v'lech shavei gabe sheva mitzvos. So why then isn't in the seven mitzvos that
we already see that Rav Yochanan has a history of killing people, also being very, very playing fast and loose with being chayiv.
Very good. Okay. Very, very good. Kal v'chomer, right?
He so didn't release Abdom to death.
What's that? It's hard to know entirely what the Gemara means when the Gemara uses a formulation that way. It's what it sounds like from the Gemara.
But brother-in-law.
His brother-in-law is Chavrusa. What do you want? What do you want me to say? Look. So Manda Amar Marasha Migzal Kagazala. So what is it? So we said there are two possibilities. Manda Amar Murasa Dino Kanara Murasa Diviskila. That the Gemara is suggesting that the reason that it doesn't get enumerated as an eighth, it shouldn't be, you can't say an eighth Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but an eighth Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is because it either factors into one of the previous seven. You know, is it a din in Arayos or is it a din in Gezel? And there are many nafkamina, as we'll see. Meisve, hiya Rabbi Meir Omer. But the Gemara asks a question, what is Rabbi Yochanan talking about? There's a previous tradition. Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. You mentioned last night Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Talmud of Hillel. Okay, so Rabbi Meir is a previous authority. He's a number of generations before Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir was the same generation as Rabbi Yosi. You remember the story in the Gemara in Yevamos where it says that Rabbi Akiva had five great Talmudim. Well, he had 24,000 Talmudim. They all died. So then it says he went to the south and he taught five Talmidim. It says there he taught Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Lazar bar Shamua. And Rabbi Yosi was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and one of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's Talmidim is Rabbi Yochanan. So it's two generations earlier. Okay, you had such a Talmid. Rabbi Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. It's very, very, very often quoted in the Mishnayos. Da Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Minayin shafilu nachri v'osek b'torah shehu kekohen gadol. What do you mean nachri shosek b'torah chayiv misa? He's parallel to a kohen gadol. What exactly that line means itself, it has to be explained. Why compare him to a kohen gadol? Be that as it may, so you see, it's certainly a good thing. Shenemar asher yasa osam ha'adam v'chay v'hem kohan levim yisraelim lo nemar elo ha'adam halamata shafilu nachri v'osek batora harehu kekohen gadol. And remember, we the first year that we had in this sugyo, so we discussed that there are many traditions about this. One tradition found in the Midrashim is not nachri v'osek batora, it's ger, right, that it's somebody who converts. And the other tradition is not nachri v'osek b'torah, it's nachri v'oses ha-torah, right? It's somebody who complies with the mitzvahs of the Torah. But the tradition that we have here, right, this is the tradition of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, the tradition of the Gemara Bava Kama Lamed Ches that we saw, and now here's Sanhedrin Nun Tes, nachri v'osek b'torah harei u'kekohen gadol. So the Gemara answered, hasam b'sheva mitzvahs didhu. So this is where we were discussing last week. It's a remarkable, remarkable Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that within their Sheva Mitzvos, they should be Osek, right, very, very deeply, and Harehu Kekohen Gadol. The minute they step outside, right, they turn the page, right, let's say from Eivor Min HaChai, they're learning about Eivor Min HaChai. Eivor Min HaChai, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Machalos Asuro. So the Rambam, you know, puts Hilchos Eivor Min HaChai there. So Steve comes and he shows his friend at work Hilchos Eivor Min HaChai, and he says, it's unbelievable. He learns all the halachos of Eivor Min HaChai. I've got to turn the page. Turns the page. And now he's looking at the Isser of Chelev, one of the forbidden fats. And Steve comes running across the room and like knocks him over. And he says, no! And you know, and the guy said, what'd you do that for? And he said, this is because he says, look, it's that what you were about to do is like a truck coming to hit you. Right? I had to. What would you want me to do if you were in the middle of the street and a truck was coming? Knock me over, push me out of the way. So Steve would say, that's exactly what I'm doing. So it's an unbelievable Gemara because of the dichotomy that it sets up. We noted last week Rashi, which I keep on wanting to return to because this will, in my opinion, break open a whole set of views within the Achronim and the Poskim. Rashi said that B'sheva Mitzvahs Didhu, they're not supposed to be philosophers about it. They shouldn't have a kind of a conceptual engagement, at least the way I understand Rashi. Rashi said, Oskin b'halachos osan shevam, esos lios b'kiyin b'hen. That they're supposed to learn very, very well what they're supposed to do. But there's a very practical orientation.
That's rather similar to Kohen Gadol. It's the parallel to Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is obviously chayav in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but he's busy 24/7. He has to be, you know, he has to constantly be.
That's very interesting. That's very
knowledge of the voting forms.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying in other words, the Kohen Gadol also has to have a practical orientation. It's very interesting. Very cool. Okay, so the Rambam.
Did we start touching? I just don't even remember this, but touching on the challenge of trying to figure out how anyone can become a convert under this scenario?
Yeah. No. We haven't discussed it yet. We said that when we get to the Meiri, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. You raised it last week. Yeah, 100%.
I don't remember, but
So that's a very good question. I mean, all I noted was, to make the problem even worse, is that based on this idea, Rabbi Kiva Eger, 95%, this is really a das yachid, but Rabbi Kiva Eger, lehalacha, was very machmir about what you could tell somebody in the process of a conversion. Even though, I just mentioned to you last week when we raised it, the Gemara in Yevamos has this whole dialogue between Ruth and Naomi, you know, midrashic dialogue about Basher Tilchi Eleich, that's Tchum Shabbos, Basher Talini Alin, Isser Yichud, so on and so forth, that you have to tell the and this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, right? Modino Mitzvah Mitzvahs Kalos, Mitzvahs Chamuros, but Rabbi Kiva Eger was very, very, very minimalistic based on this Gemara. So you're on the right track. Rabbi Kiva Eger would love the question, but when we see the Meiri deals with it. So the Rambam...
Uvrar Hadavar L'mafraya.
What's that?
Uvrar Hadavar L'mafraya.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously at some point it'll be revealed that what you're teaching him was...
Okay, but Rabbi Kiva, I happen to agree with you. I mean, you know... I actually don't think it's such a problem to begin with, but Rabbi Kiva Eger was the giant of a Talmud Chacham, leading scholar of his generation. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, you know, is what to contend with, and so, you know, he was very concerned, which I admit it was something of an esoteric view. It's a little idiosyncratic. Okay, so the Rambam that we were working on said as follows. Akum she'asak b'Torah chayiv misa. The Rambam paskins the Gemara in Sanhedrin. A non-Jew, and here the Rambam uses a term for an idolater, which is important. Chayiv misa. That's straight out of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Lo yasok ella b'sheva mitzvah shelahen bilvad. Also straight out of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The last line of Gemara, hasam b'sheva mitzvah did who? So lo yasok ella b'sheva mitzvah shelahen bilvad. And here what I tried to develop was that this is a contrast with Rashi. Rashi says, oskin b'halachos osan sheva mitzvos lios b'kiyin b'hen. Rashi takes the Gemara and pragmatizes it. Or the Rambam, I think, allows for an engagement on all levels. Lo yasok ella b'sheva mitzvah shelahen bilvad. The term lo yasok itself means a very deep kind of engagement, right? Osek b'Torah is much more than lomed. I would say even a philosophical conceptual engagement for the Rambam. In any event, then the Rambam, as we noted, introduces, he takes what should by all rights be a different halacha, and he integrates it. V'chein akum sheshavas afilu b'yomi mos hachol, even if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. Im asa'u la'atzmo kemo Shabbos, if he observes it b'toras Shabbos, meaning he's observing the Sabbath, chayiv misa, this is considered usurping the Shabbos. V'ein sarech lomar im asa moed la'atzmo, and certainly if he makes up his own religious holiday and says, oh yes, we gave a number of colorful suggestions last week about a religious holiday that he may or may not invent. Klalo shel davar, the Rambam tells you why he integrates three halachos into one. Number one, Talmud Torah. Number two, Shabbos. Number three, making up a holiday. Because the Rambam conceptually considers all of these things. Klalo shel davar imanichanos alachadesh das vilasos mitzvos laatzman midasan. We don't allow them to create a cult, to start a new religion. Ella, you have two choices. Oh, yeah, Gerd Sedek v'yakabel kol ha-mitzvos. You want to keep Shabbos. You want to learn the Torah. You have an avenue for doing that. You have an avenue. It's called conversion. Okay. Oh, yamod b'Torah. So, v'lo Yosef v'lo Yigareya. This is a very difficult line to interpret in the Rambam in light of the next halacha. And this is what we were discussing. Or he should stay exactly where he is. Right, and he shouldn't add and he shouldn't subtract. By all rights, you would think that what this means is certainly he's responsible for all the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, but he shouldn't take on other mitzvos. He shouldn't take on Lulav, he shouldn't take on Sukkah, he shouldn't take on Tefillin, he shouldn't take on Mezuzah. Yes, sir?
Are we passing beyond learning to doing? There's one thing.
Yeah, this is talking about doing now, because it says V'yakabel kol ha-mitzvos. Oh, yamod b'Torah sevelo Yosef lo yigareya. So the Rambam here is talking about action. V'im asak b'Torah, and if he learns Torah, this is back to learning. Oh, Shabbos, or he keeps Shabbos. Oh, chidesh davar, he makes up his own mitzvah. He makes up his own holiday. Makin oso ve'onshin oso, right? You give him corporal punishment. You punish him. You beat him. Modin oso shehu chayiv misal zeh, that theoretically is chayiv misal vel eino nerag. But for whatever reason, the Rambam dilutes the Gemara. he's not actually killed, right? In all of these cases, the Gemara said when it comes to Shabbos, Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa. The Gemara said that we read together, Nachri Shosik V'Torah Chayiv Misa. The Rambam dilutes all of these things. The question is, why does he dilute it? That we'll see the Nosei Kelim about. But here, in any event, what we said is that the Mechayiv for the Rambam, yeah.
Maybe we want a program.
What's that? Okay, so it could be very, very, very practical.
Yes.
But you could say the same thing about Avraham Min Achai. Can you imagine if we administrated the death penalty for Avraham Min Achai? It's probably just as dangerous.
Yes.
Right, so the Rambam, but the Rambam there doesn't say. Here he says it's a real Chiyuv Misa.
It feels a little bit like the Freemasons.
I know nothing about the Freemasons. You're going to have to explain.
The idea is that the secret societies, very much in medieval culture, you know, this notion that, you know, that knowledge of certain, you know, in certain groups was really restricted only to that group, and you had to basically know the code, be a member, and be part of it to get into the club that would allow you to have it. And I'm just curious.
Okay, now I see what you mean.
What interplay, if any, there is with just, in general, this cultural sense that your collection of customs and rules and laws was only for, you know, those who had the code.
Right, exactly. Because it begs the question, because the Rambam, the Chiddush of the Rambam, very good, Mark, is that outside of the context of the general covenant, of the broader covenant, keeping Shabbos and Talmud Torah uniquely, no other mitzvah falls into this category, but right, this is what we noted. Keeping Shabbos or learning Torah itself represents a cultic act, meaning outside of the covenant. And the question is, that's a big chiddush of the Rambam, because he says, he considers this chidesh das. When we're going to read the Meiri in a second, you'll see that he moves away from that, I think, because it's such a nebulous category. In other words, what makes study of Torah outside of the full covenant a cultic act? What makes keeping Shabbos outside of the covenant a cultic act? Whereas, let's say, keeping any other mitzvah is not. Now, I agree that they're more central, but that's a fascinating question. That's exactly what you're putting your finger on. Yeah, Max.
It's classic Rambam, though. It's reactionary to you know, historic context, basically. You know, Rambam, who's the one who says that, you know, if you see a non-Jew who's in peril, you don't break Shabbos to save him. You know, he's basically
well, because the Gemara says that, right? The Gemara.
But you know, Rambam's midaktik when it comes to being insulated, basically, because he lived in a very tumultuous time where, you know.
I mean, there's multiple pieces. I mean, the Rambam is remember, the Gemara says, let's say, about giving charity to non-Jews. The Gemara says it's Mishum Darchei Shalom, and the Rambam is the one who was much more, he had the most maximalist conceptual interpretation of Darchei Shalom. The Rambam there says, because Shane'emar, Tov Hashem l'kol v'racham aval kol ma'asav, you know, because Hashem is compassionate, we should be compassionate. He has a much more universal... So it depends on which area. You have to look at the Rambam, is very complex. You have to look into different areas to figure out where the Rambam is being more insular and where the Rambam is being more universal in his orientation. Here, it's interesting because the Rambam's formulation is just so different. He says, "Klalo shel davar ein manichin osam l'chadesh das," that there's a general prohibition that they're not allowed to do cultic acts. And learning Torah and observing Shabbos is a cultic act. It's not the ma'aseh aver itself. It's not keeping Shabbos qua keeping Shabbos. It's not learning Torah qua learning Torah. It's klalo shel davar. The reason the Rambam doesn't give each of these things their own halacha, the reason the Rambam integrates them, is because there's one principle here, which is you're not allowed to do cultic acts. You're not allowed to, as Mark used the analogy, you're not allowed to create secret societies. And then we noted, and this is the last thing that we took a look at last week, Ben Noach sheratza lasos mitzvah mishar mitzvah satorah kidei lekabel schar, ein monin oso lasos kehilchasa. Right, a Gentile who wishes to take on another mitzvah, kidei lekabel schar, meaning he admits that he's not chayiv, but he's doing it for extra credit. We don't stop him. This isn't exactly a ringing endorsement, but ein monin oso lasosa kelchasa.
It's a very different position than the previous.
Well, that was precisely the issue we raised. So there are two possibilities. One of them was what Steve noted last week, and this is a suggestion that I made as well, which is that here the Rambam is talking about a Ben Noach, there he was talking about Akum. In other words, Lo Yosef Lo Yigareya means that if somebody hasn't fully accepted the Sheva Mitzvah, so we don't allow him, we don't enable him, we don't assist him to take on any other mitzvahs, because let him worry about his Sheva Mitzvahs first. But when it comes to a Ben Noach for the Rambam means somebody who's adopted the Sheva Mitzvah, B'nai Noach, who wants to take on Lulav, who wants to take on Shofar, who wants to take on Makeh. He's building like every home in the Middle East, right? You ever see the pictures in Iraq? All of them have flat roofs. It's the style there. They don't have pointy roofs in Iraq. So he wants to take on the mitzvah of Makkah. Because why should somebody fall off his roof? Okay, so we should tell him all the halachos of Makkah to make sure that he can do it kihil chasa. That's one possibility. This is talking about a ben noach. Somebody's ready to adopt the Shev Nesses. And I have to tell you, you don't find, when you look through the classical Meforshim on the Rambam, you just don't find this distinction. They don't really pick up on the distinction so much between Akum and...
Most commentaries feel that the Rambam uses ben noach and Akum.
Not generally, but in this context. In this context, he's not, the Rambam was not trying to make the distinction between an Akum and a ben noach for the purposes of this one halacha, namely for the question of can you take on the mitzvah of lulav, can you take on the mitzvah of shofar, not in the sense that you think you're commanded. You don't think you're commanded, but kidei lekabel schar, because you think that these things are worthy and these things will bring you additional reward. Okay, so that was one interpretation that the Rambam had, is that there's a difference in Akum and Benoach. The other interpretation is that no, the Rambam is always open to a Gentile taking on additional mitzvos. What we meant is O Yamod Bitoraso Velo Yosef Velo Yigareya, right, that previous halacha, because Lo Yosef sounded like he's not allowed to take on anything else, doesn't actually mean that he can't take on anything else. It means that he's not allowed to make up something new. He can't make up a new mitzvah. In other words, it's a reference to what the Rambam said previously. Okay, now let's take a look at the Me'iri that we've spoken so much about. The Me'iri, which you just have to know in terms of the background, is the Me'iri, more than any other Rishon in terms of influence on the Me'iri, the Rambam was the greatest influence. The Me'iri has great respect for the Ramban also. It's not a question of him not respecting. He sometimes quotes from the Ramban. He will often... quote the Ramban very favorably. But in terms of the Rishon who he's most taken with, as many, many other Rishonim who came later were, it's the Rambam. So the Me'iri, 95% of the time, is operating within the tradition of the Rambam. But here you'll see that he took the idea of the Rambam, but I think presented it quite differently because the Rambam's category was so difficult to pin down. So Me'iri says as follows, Benoach shera'inuhu mischased. We see that he's at... What's that?
Becomes a chassid.
Right, exactly. So he's taking on additional acts of piety. V'koveo la'atzmo yimei menucha. Right, and now he's fixing for himself days of menucha, Shabbos, or Yom Tov. Right, he's taking on a moed. He's taking on a Shabbos. Ro'oi le'anish. Should be punished. Afal pi she'enu neherag. Where do you get that line? Ro'oi le'anish, afal pi she'enu neherag. That's straight for the Rambam. Very good, Dr. Gribitz. V'lo sof davar. Bishakoveya es atzmo al shalanu. Okay, and certainly not only the case where he like let's say takes Shabbos on Saturday. Now he's quoting from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chasamid Beis. Af b'sheni b'Shabbos she'en manichin oso lechadish bo lekvoa yom chag laatzmo lishbos bo mitoras chag. Okay, we don't allow him to have a Shabbos on Saturday. We don't allow him to have a Shabbos on Monday. We don't allow him Shabbos on Thursday. We don't allow him. Shezeh, now this is a critical line in the Me'iri. Shezeh nireh kimi shehum mibnei amenu v'yilamdu acherim heimenu. Because what's the danger? People will think, let's just read it again. Shezeh nireh kimi shehum mibnei amenu v'yilamdu acherim heimenu. What's the trouble? How is this similar to the Rambam? How is this different than the Rambam? So far that we've seen, everything has been totally in line with the Rambam, but here the Me'iri really diverges. What's the concern? Shezenira kamishahu mi bnei amenu v'yolamdu acherim himenu.
So it's going to lead us astray as opposed to something else.
Very practical.
Yeah.
People will think that this guy is Jewish because, okay, maybe he's not the firmest guy, but he's keeping Shabbos. Right? And everybody's gonna learn, right? People will think that this guy is mi bnei amenu.
Not if he's keeping Shabbos on Monday.
So it's an amazing thing. So the Rambam didn't say it this way, I think, for that reason. I think, among other things, for that reason. Meaning, if he's keeping Shabbos on Monday, are people really going to think that he's Jewish? The Rambam didn't quite say that, but that is what the Me'iri is saying.
That doesn't make any sense.
So that... But,
well, the thing doesn't make any sense. I mean, we can't prevent going...
Well, that's a different question. The question is, that's a
jurisdictional issue.
Yeah, right. No, that's of course true. But we're operating for a second on the conceptual theoretical plane. So certainly the Rambam, that's why I'm trying to make the argument that the Rambam didn't mean this in a practical way. The Rambam was speaking formally that these things, that should one observe Shabbos outside of the context of the covenant and the mitzvahs, should one learn Torah outside of the covenant and the mitzvahs, that by definition is a cultic act. Everybody's going to know you're not Jewish, but you're not permitted to start cults. What did the Rambam say? Klalo shel davar ein manichen osel chadesh das. But that's a new category. So the Meiri took this and said, no, it's much more pragmatic. Right, what we're concerned about is people thinking that this guy's Jewish. Let me just continue on a few lines in the Miri, then we'll come back and evaluate. Yeah, Mark, jump in.
Why is it any different, though, from Steve doing the same thing?
Steve?
What? I mean, Steve starting to observe Shabbat on Monday.
Right, that would be a violation of the laws of Shabbos, but
I'm just talking about as a subject matter. In other words, if the concern, your concern is that people may follow someone because they're doing something and they think that there's something, you don't want to lead people astray. So shouldn't that fall into the category of whether it's the guy from the street or Steve doing it?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Agreed. Absolutely. The only question is that there's going to be something uniquely challenging about somebody who doesn't keep any of the mitzvos, right? Let's say he keeps seven mitzvos. He doesn't keep any of the other mitzvos. He keeps Shabbos. Shabbos is such a fundamental thing. People only associate Shabbos with Jews. Everybody say, oh, this guy is Jewish and he doesn't put on tefillin, so I shouldn't put on tefillin. That's the way the Meiri formulates it. So it's a totally pragmatic chashash. And you see how that's very different than the Rambam. The Rambam, you don't get the impression that it's that the issue is they'll think that he's Jewish and that they'll learn from him. That's the Meiri's reading of the Rambam. That's the way that he takes the Rambam's idea. So let's go a little further. Aval shar mitzvos ein monin heimenu sharei amru lekabel korbanosav. If it utzdakosav, right? You can accept a korban from him. You can accept tzedakah from him. Okay. V'chein hadinim asak b'torah. Shalo lekavanas kiyum mikari mitzvosel ela shalibo chafatz leirid liyadias tarasenu v'salmudenu ra'oi le'anish mipnei shebnei adam svurin alav shehumi shalanu mitoch shirono so yodeya v'yavo litos acharav. Okay, the Miri said much here. Let me just key in on this one line and then we'll come back and read it very, very carefully. So again, the Meiri repeats his thesis. He follows in the Rambam here in the sense that he's integrating the Isser Talmud Torah and the Isser Shabbos and the Isser of starting your own mitzvah. But he's different in the way that he formulates what the problem is. Again, he says, Mipnei shebnei adam surin alav shehumi shalanu mitoch sharoin oso yodeya v'yavo litos acharav. What's going to happen? This guy's going to be very knowledgeable. He's going to be the biggest bucky in Bava Basra. So everybody's going to see. They're asking him all the questions above Bava Basra, right? Bava Basra deals with the issues of Cheskes Habatim. So they go up to him and they say, you know, what are the halachos of, you know, establishing proprietary rights over the field? He says, oh, it's obvious. You need a Cheskes Shaloshanim, and that's only if the Marakama doesn't object. He learned it very well. So everybody's going to say, this guy for sure is Jewish. He's the biggest Talmud Chachamir. He doesn't put on tefillin, so I don't need to put on tefillin. That is the way the Meiri presents the issue. But Bein Hashar, we have to read this line very, very carefully. I read it quickly because I just wanted to get to that B'nai Adam Svur in a love, because here the Meiri repeats himself, and I just wanted to establish that clearly as the Pshat in the Meiri. But what did the Meiri do? The Meiri opened a major heter in terms of Talmud Torah for non-Jews in this line. Because what did he say? V'chein ha'dinim asak b'torah, shalo l'chavanas kiyum ikare mitzvoseha. One more time. V'chein ha'dinim asak b'torah, shalo l'chavanas kiyum Ikare mitzvoseha, ela shalibo chafetz leire liyadias torasenu v'salmudenu. What did the Meiri do? He said the Isser Talmud Torah is only under which circumstances? If he doesn't plan on
actually practicing.
Good. So the Meiri here is saying something explicit, which was only implicit in the Rambam. The Rambam again said any non-Jew who wants to take on an additional mitzvah, ein monin oso lasosa kelchasa. We're not going to stand in his way from doing it kelchasa. Which we intuited last week must mean that we have to communicate to him enough information that he should be able to perform the mitzvah properly. Kilchasa. But the Meiri says it in a much stronger way. Right? He says that the only problem of Osek Batara is if he just wants to take intellectually without practicing. But if his intention is to take on an additional mitzvah, V'chein adini ma'asek b'tara l'chavanas kiyom ikari mitzvoseha, then it would absolutely be fine. So the Meiri has opened up. Not all Rishonim are going to sign on to this, right? So here you have to be operating with a very particular assumption to come to the conclusion of the Meiri, namely that they can take on additional mitzvos. And not only can they take on additional mitzvos, But they can take on additional mitzvahs, and it's not just a question of us communicating to them the bare minimum, which you might have argued based on the Rambam, of Ein Monino Sola Sosa Kehil Chasa. We enable them to do what they need to do. We tell them halachically what they're supposed to do, but here the Me'iri allows for a much deeper engagement, right? If it's in the context of them fulfilling the mitzvah. So, I mean, let's say they wanted to take on lulav, hey, you tell them the whole thing. You know, really, really deeply. Okay. So there's just a number of important points here in the Miri. Again, number one, the most important point is his reading of the Rambam, the way that he pragmatizes the basic idea of the Rambam. It's not an issue of formation of a cult. It's really much more of an issue of the pragmatic concern that people will think that these, if somebody is knowledgeable in Torah, if somebody keeps Shabbos, these things are such elemental features of Judaism, people will think the guy is Jewish, and then they'll end up learning from him. Well, he doesn't keep tefillin. Why should I keep tefillin? In terms of the Isser Talmud Torah itself, the Meiri really constricted it, but he said that if it's in anything in the context of the non-Jew wanting to take on a mitzvah, is totally legitimate. Totally legitimate. Okay. The only problem is, again, shalibo chafetz leired liyadias torasenu v'salmudenu. It's only if it's a purely theoretical engagement is it a problem. What's interesting is, when we get in a few weeks to the Sri Deyesh, you'll see almost the entirely opposite perspective. Okay. The next four lines in the Miri are crucial. Mikol makom. Kol shehu osek bikare sheva mitzvos ubi pratehem. Anybody, forget about somebody who's taking on additional things. Those are the fancy cases. What about the basic cases? A standard ben noach, right? Kol shehu osek bikare sheva mitzvos ubi pratehem. He's osek in his sheva mitzvos. Uba ma sheyotze mehem. Right? And the things that are tangentially related to them. Right? He wants to get a better perspective, let's say, on Gezel. So he learns about Geneva, and he learns about Shiluach Yad, right? Bamesha Yotze Meham. He's casting a bit of a wider net so that he can better appreciate his areas. Afal pi sherov gufei Torah nicholam behem. Anybody want to take a stab at that line? What does that mean? Afal pi sherov gufei Torah nicholam behem. Even though, right, that most of the... What does that line mean? Rov gufei Torah nicholam behem.
Related to a lot of fundamental Torah categories.
Exactly. So the Meiri is saying is, forget about taking on additional mitzvahs. The truth of the matter is that the Sheva mitzvos are sort of archetypes. They're basic categories. And so the truth is, without taking on anything else, he's able to have access to most things. Because, let's say, you know, Eivar Min HaChai, you'd have to pin it down. Eivar Min HaChai relates to the laws of Kashrus, relates to the laws of Kedoshim to you. So the Meiri is very, very open here. He says, Kol Shu Osik Bikare Sheva mitzvos Ubi Prateyem. Uvimasha yotze mehem, right, and the things which are related, tangentially related. Avo pisharov gufei Torah nichlalam behem, mechad dinoso afilu kikoin gadol. Mechad dinoso afilu kikoin gadol, right, we give him the kavod that was due to kohen gadol, right? She'en kan chashash litos achrav, sharei af bishalohu osik. Why? Because the whole concern about Talmud Torah to begin with is a very practical concern. There's no fundamental issue with a non-Jew studying Torah, right? The fundamental issue, the Meiri is already neutralized. It's purely a practical issue that people are going to be led astray because they'll think this guy is Jewish. So if we see that his focus is primarily on the Sheva Mitzvos, even though the Meiri defines the Sheva Mitzvos very broadly, nobody's going to think this guy is Jewish because af bishalohu osik. So you see how the Meiri's whole orientation here is to totally neutralize any fundamental issue with a non-Jew studying Torah. In a sense, it's almost to me the opposite of the Rambam, because the Rambam said it's a cultic act when it's outside of the covenant. The Meiri said, no. What maybe the Rambam meant, or what he means, right, is that...
How would the Rambam answer the question? So we take the view, for example, the Aseret HaDibro to incorporate all of this extension, ultimately incorporate all of this.
Oh, you're saying like Rav Sadia Gaon's perspective. That was Rav Sadia Gaon's
perspective.
Einfall, right? Exactly. That the whole thing is in
that. Say then, you know, so maybe the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach encompass 537 of the
Mitzvah. Yeah, the Meiri, for all intents and purposes, says that. He says, okay, so then they have access to everything. And again, only the Meiri could say that. Why? Because the Meiri understands the concern is only practical. If you believe that there's a fundamental issue here, which is what the Gemara seems to suggest, it's Arayos, it's Gezel, the Meiri has moved so far away from that. He says, the whole issue is really an issue of, right, you know, people getting confused who's Jewish and who's not Jewish. So once you've made it into a practical chashash, you're going to be much less concerned about, you know, where you draw the line. The Meiri is basically saying, it's true, you're right, most of the Sheva Mitzvahs are kind of archetypes, Rov Gufei HaTorah Nichlalim Behem, and anything tangential, that's fine, because again, for him, the only concern is a practical concern.
So he would under that view, he would say the Chayav Misa does apply, but it applies in a situation where you see someone who's actually...
Who's really, you know, giving people the perception that he's Jewish and he's leading people astray. For the Meiri, the whole concern is that Jewish people are going to be led to believe that, you know, they're not responsible for the rest of Mitzvahs. And again, he is with the Rambam on that, because he's not actually going to administrate the death penalty. Roile and Enesh, Aval Pish, right? He's not going to actually give a death penalty. Okay, so we really got to the essential point in the Meiri, which is that the Isser Talmud Torah is not fundamental, it's practical. Which, to my mind, is even though he starts within the Rambam, he totally, in terms of the conceptual orientation, is the opposite. Now, the Meiri goes a further point, and Mark, this is the question that you asked, to your credit, this week and last week.
And I'll ask again next week, so I'm sure I'll forget that I asked it both times.
You're welcome to do so. V'kol shekein im chakirasan al das lavo atach l'shleimos torasenu ad she'im yimtzayin ha'shleim ha'yachzor v'yiskayir. One more time. What heter is the mirror here? V'kol shekein im chakirasan al das lavo atach l'shleimos torasenu ad she'im yimtzayin ha'shleim ha'yachzor v'yiskayir. That what's the Meiri matir here? With no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Kol shekeni mechakiras and al das lavo atach l'shleimos torah. Seino atchim yimtzayin l'shleima yachzor v'yizgayir.
And if you're doing it for the purpose of moving to the passive, becoming a ger, then obviously it's
excellent. Very good. So he's totally matir, teaching people in the context of a gerus program. But let's make two diukim. The issue always comes up. Well, how do you know? Maybe they're not going to end up converting. So, you know, l'mafreya, you'll have.
Not maybe he'll meet a rabbi who won't kiss Gaira.
Right.
He
so
wants to become a kid.
That's all. Right. That's also possible. Yes. Right. So. So whether it's my situation or Dr. Gribbett's situation, let's say you become Jewish in the end. So you have to make two diukim in the Meiri why it's no problem. When the Meiri says no, if it's in the context of a consideration of conversion, because it's clear. I mean, I'll just point it out. B'kol shekein im chakirasan. What does a chakira mean? It's an investigation. He's investigating. He hasn't come to a conclusion yet. Vikolsh, you just have to read the words. The Meiri says it clearly, right? It's it should never be that somebody.
If he says it's purposes of just of accepting more mitzvahs, then obviously there's no issue if he's not going.
For the Meiri, that's no problem either. So, and if the person says, "Look, I'm interested in learning more about Judaism. I'm considering converting." Remember, we were discussing the Rebbe Kiva Eger issue. For the Meiri is beferish, it's not a problem. You have a Rishon to rely on. All the conversion programs today rely on this. I mean, other Rishonim too are open to this, not only the Meiri. I'm just saying this is a very strong formulation. V'kol shekenim chakirasan al das labo atach l'shleimus terasenu ad she'im yimtza'en ha'shleima yachzor v'yizkayir. Again, the Meiri is very careful. He said, im yimtza'en ha'shleima. He hasn't made up his mind yet. He's considering it. He's investigating it. That's permissible. The kol shekein, he repeats, im osek u'mikayim ikari mitzvosel lishma af bishar chalakim shaba shalom yishava mitzvah. So you see the Meiri has dramatically circumscribed the Isser Talmud Torah. The whole mechayiv is that Jews shouldn't get confused about who's Jewish. And in the following situations, it's no problem. If the non-Jew is taking on additional mitzvos, he can have a very deep engagement. The only a problem if it's, you know, as he said, Shechafetz leirei liyidias torasenu v'salmudenu. He just wants to engage theoretically. He doesn't want to take on anything additional. And yet, the truth of the matter is that even if he's not taking on additional mitzvos, even if it's just he wants to do his sheva mitzvos and he wants to learn them very well and he wants to learn masha yotzei mehem, the tangentially related areas, and the Meiri admits afal pi sherov gufei Torah nichlalim bahem, it's not an issue. Why? It's not an issue for the Meiri because he says ein kan chashash litos acharav. Nobody's going to get confused about who's Jewish and who's not Jewish. So you have here this remarkable Meiri, and then the Meiri of course tells us about the context of the conversion programs. Okay, so let me just, it's now 8:26. How much time do we have? Because that will determine how I budget my time.
I'm okay.
Do we have till 8:45 today?
Yeah.
Okay. amazing. Okay, so let's just take a look ahead, and I apologize. I really, really, really try very hard not to go out of order, but I just didn't want this source number 10 really belongs with the previous sources, but I just there was no way I could get it on the front page, and I didn't really want to print a whole nother piece of paper here because it's just not responsible environmentally, so I just put it at the end. So the Radvaz says as follows.
Years from now, when we have the paper, we're going to be totally confused.
What's that?
Years from now, when we take this, we're just going to be completely.
Well, you just make a note that source 10 really belongs. I just wanted to, the Radvaz lived around the time of the Spanish, this expulsion from Spain. He was born, they say, in 1479. In any event, Rabbeinu David ben Shlomo ibn Abi Zimra, they called him Radvaz for Rabbeinu, Reish, David, Dalid, the Bez is Ben, and then the Zion is Zimra. Okay, that's his grandfather. Avi Zimra. So the Radvaz is a very important commentary in the Rambam. Most of the you have different commentaries on the Rambam for different Svarim and Mishnah Torah. So the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo's work on the Rambam is wherever he wrote, printed on the side. And then there's the Magid Mishnah, there's the Lechem Mishnah, there's the Mishnah Lemelech. And where the Radvaz wrote, he's often printed opposite the Kesef Mishnah. It's very, very important. There's the Hagos Maimonios, of course, the Ramach, but the Radvaz is very important. Not so well known outside of yeshiva circles, but the Radvaz is a very important commentary on the Rambam. And the Radvaz again, he started his life in Spain, and then he ended up in Salonika, in Greece. When are they having the vote today? Next week? When are they having the vote there? They're deciding whether to be. It's next week, right? Unbelievable what's happening there. Okay, so that he spent a good amount of time there. So the Radvaz actually ended up in Egypt, and he became the Rav HaRashi, what they call the Chacham Bashi in Egypt, and they say that he lived to about 110. But anyway, he was a chief rabbi of Egypt, and he was a very, obviously, great Talmud Chacham, but he was actually very integrated into what was happening in Egypt, the general culture in Egypt in the 16th century, according to historical accounts, and he had a religious and social impact. So anyway, the Radvaz, very interesting life. So the Radvaz says as follows, Benoach Sharetz Alasa's Mitzvah. Okay, he's quoting here from the Rambam. V'im ratza lasos be'omarosh and itztav elah ein manichin oso lasos ha'eli ma'asa k'dei l'kabel l'haschar k'mi she'enu mitzuva v'yosa v'chein dik rabbeinu v'chasav k'dei l'kabel schar. Just within this sheet of the Rambam that a non-Jew who wishes to take on an additional mitzvah k'dei l'kabel schar, what did the Rambam say? Ein monin oso lasos ha'kel chasa. So here the Radvaz jumps in and says, oh, you have to be medaktik very carefully in the words of the Rambam. Right? The Rambam says, k'dei l'kabel schar. So if he would come along and say, oh, I believe I'm commanded in shofar, I believe that I'm commanded in lulav, I believe that I'm commanded in makkah, I'm taking it on as one who's commanded, we don't allow him to do it, because that will be blurring the lines also. Okay? Again, so just to read the line, Benoach sheratza lasos mitzvah, im ratza lasos be'omaro shenitztave aleha, if he's claiming that he himself was commanded, then ein manichin oso lasosa. Where do you get that language of ein manichin oso lasosa? It's the opposite of what we had before, of Benoach sheratza lekabel mitzvah mina mitzvos k'dei lekabel schar. Right, k'dei lekabel schar implies a recognition that he is not mitzuva, he is not commanded. Now here comes the major point that I wanted to make in the Radvaz. Mikol makom, b'mitzvah shetzrichin kedusha u'tahara, you're going tefillin sefer Torah mezuzah, ani chokech lahachmir shelo yanichu osam lasosan. The Radvaz is introducing a chomer. Let's read it one more time. Mikol makom, b'mitzvah shetzrichin kedusha u'tahara, kigon tefillin sefer Torah mezuzah, ani chokech lahachmir shelo yanichu osam lasosan. What?
He means writing one.
Writing one, right?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah.
I think writing one.
Lasosam, I guess it means to do.
No, lasosan means to perform the mitzvos.
Oh, I thought it meant to write the tefillin.
No, it would be writing the Sefer Torah, but here he's talking about taking on the mitzvah of mezuzah, taking on the mitzvah of tefillin, or writing a Sefer Torah. He wouldn't be able to write a Sefer Torah for other reasons.
I mean, you're not allowed to put on tefillin because you're not Tahar, or not?
Well, there's an issue we know of guf naki. We have to be very careful about the kedushas tefillin.
And the goyim don't have a
guf naki. Oh! So what is he saying?
I was asking about what Steve was saying, because it sounds like you know,
La'asosa means, La'asosa in here means to perform mitzvah. So what chumra do you see? You're right, it's based on assumption. So what's the Radvaz saying? Did Rambam say this?
No.
Absolutely not. So you see, this is why it's such an important comment. The Radvaz is introducing a very big chumra. He's not claiming that the Rambam said it. To his credit, he's not claiming that this is within the words of the Rambam. He says just one more time, we call mekom b'mitzvah shetzrichen kedusha tara. He goes tefill and sefer Torah mezuzah and chokech lahachmer shelo yanicho osam lasosan under any circumstances. Okay, so this is a chumrah of the Radvaz. The Rambam didn't say this.
What does he mean by kedusha
tara? Very good question.
It's a much broader subject than just mezuzah tefillin and sefer Torah.
Right. So there are specific issues when it comes to, you know, Kedusha Stam. Here you're dealing with sacred texts that Tefillin therefore have a certain Kedusha, the Sefer Torah, obviously Kedusha, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, etc. So this is a discrete halacha category, but he does formulate it in such a way that it's not just Kedusha, uses the term Tahara. Tahara.
So what would he be forbidden to do with Mezuzah? He's not allowed to put up a Mezuzah.
Yeah, he shouldn't have a Mezuzah. He shouldn't be Kovei a Mezuzah on his door.
Because his goof is not Tahara.
I wouldn't say it's an issue of gufnaki, that's more of a tefillin issue, but it's an issue of kedusha. The special kedusha of Klal Yisrael, this is what the Radvaz is saying. So it's, again, so this is a very different perspective. Okay. That the special kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which comes from the mitzvahs, kedoshim tiyu, ki kedoshani Hashem elokeichem, and then we have all the mitzvahs, ishim ovaviv tiro, v'shapsosai tishmoru, ani Hashem, all of the mitzvahs of kedoshim, which give a special kedusha to Klal Yisrael, the Radvaz thinks should factor in. And that's a very important Radvaz. Okay, so the Radvaz comes to limit the Rambam, but the Rambam himself did not introduce this category. Okay, so that I just wanted to mention, as a footnote to our discussion up until now. Now, there is a principle. There is a principle in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Daf Nun Tes, the continuation of the Gemara that we saw when it comes to non-Jewish studies Torah, a very famous principle in the Talmud. So let's just read the Gemara quickly, and let's deal with it in the context of our issue of Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says as follows, Amar Mar, Kol mitzvah shenemra li bnei Noach, v'nishnei spesinai lezeu lezeu nemra. Any mitzvah which was given to the Bnei Noach and then repeated at Sinai, lezel lezanemra, it was relevant for both, meaning it's relevant for Jews from Sinai and it's relevant for Bnei Noach from beforehand. In other words, the fact that it was repeated at Sinai does not uproot it. Adrabba, the Gemara says, on the contrary, midinishnei spisinai, the fact that it's reiterated at Sinai, li Yisrael nemra velo li Bnei Noach, that limits it to the Jewish people and takes it out of the province of Bnei Noach. So, midinisni avodah zarah b'sinai ve'eshkachin de'anash nachri lavei shma minah lezeh lezeh nemra. But then the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, right? Avodah zarah is prohibited in Sinai, it's in the Torah, right? And we find that a nachri is still responsible for avodah zarah. Shma minah lezeh lezeh nemra. No, it must be that even though it's repeated at Sinai, it's relevant to both Gentiles and to Jews. And so the Gemara is concluding that anything which should be repeated at Sinai, I've mentioned before, lezel lezen emra. Now the critical point as far as we're concerned is as follows. Livnei Noach, something that was given to Bnei Noach, v'lo nishnei spesinai, it doesn't appear later in the Torah, right? Doesn't appear in the context of Sinai. Lisrael nemra v'lo livnei Noach. So it's interesting, we're saying it was taken away from Bnei Noach and given only to the Jewish people. In other words, if it's not repeated at Sinai, this is a little counterintuitive, we should interpret that it's only for the Jewish people, which is surprising. You would think, right, that it should be the opposite. This is the Gemara questions. How could that be? Adarabba, what do you mean? Midelo nishnei spesinai, if it wasn't repeated at Sinai, it's only given in the context of Bnei Noach. Right, so then it should be Livnei Noach Nemra v'lo liYisrael. It must be that this is only a mitzvah or an iser for non-Jews. It's not for the Jewish people. Word for the Jewish people, like everything, it should have to be given at Sinai. So the Gemara says something very interesting. How do I know this? Leka midim de liYisrael shari ulinachri aser. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. Because it can't be that there's anything that should be permissible to a Jew that's prohibited to a non-Jew.
But that's what we said about Shabbos.
And? Shabbos and? What's our issue here?
Talmud Torah.
Very good. Steve, Baruch Shekivanta, you could have been one of the Baalei Tosas if you lived like 1,000 years ago. Okay. So then the Gemara says, is it really so? Is Vilo, Vare Yafas Torah? The Gemara asks a number of questions. Okay. In any event, just in the interest of time, let's go skipping down to Tosus, the seventh source. So Tosus says, Lekha Midim Yisrael Shari. So the implicit question in Tosus is, Shabbos, Talmud Torah. What do you mean? What are you talking about that a non-Jew can't have a restriction that a Jew doesn't have? It's not so. The Gemara just finished saying that a Jew has to keep Shabbos, and non-Jew keeps Shabbos. It's Chayiv Misa. Even if the Rambam will say it's Einu Nerag, we're not going to kill him, just going to mock him so much. What about Talmud Torah? So the Tosos has a big chiddush here. He says, "Bedavar shehu mitzvah liYisrael lo amrin an hachi." Ha'ovid kochavim sheShabbos chayev liYisrael mitzvah. Af al gav the b'sheni b'Shabbos ain mitzvah liYisrael mikol makom yesh alav mitzvahs shvisas Shabbos. And that we're not going to have time, unfortunately. But then Tosos asks a famous question about abortions, etc. Abortion seems to be an Isser Shvichas Damim for non-Jews, whereas for Jews, it's not an Isser Shvichas Damim. It depends how you understand. It's a machlokas whether it's an Isser Shvichas Damim, but certainly in the context of saving the mother's life, it's a mitzvah to kill the fetus to save the mother. And the question is whether that's at all permissible for a non-Jew, considering that it's certainly an Isser of Shvichas Damim for a non-Jew to kill a fetus. This is why it's such a famous Tosos. But we're interested in the first two lines of Tosos. Tosos says here, anybody pick up on it? What's the answer for Shabbos and Talmud Torah? Davar shehu mitzvah liYisrael lo amrin an hachi. The Gemara said that you can't have something which is permissible for a Jew, which is prohibited for a non-Jew. Can't be. So Tosos says, yeah, that's true. You cannot have something which is permissible for a Jew, which is prohibited to a non-Jew. But you can certainly have something it's not permissible. It's obligatory.
Yeah,
it's obligatory. So Talmud Torah is obligatory for a Jew and prohibited for a non-Jew. Shmirah Shabbos is not permissible for a Jew. It's obligatory for a Jew and prohibited for a non-Jew. But then Tosus got into trouble because he says, Ha'ovid kochav sheShabbos chayev liYisrael mitzvah. It's not shari, it's a mitzvah. And then he says, well, what about the idea that it says, remember the Gemara said explicitly, and we saw it in many different places, that a non-Jew is not permitted to have Shabbos on Tuesday. But is it a mitzvah for a Jew to have Shabbos on Tuesday? And he says, but afal gav de b'sheni b'Shabbos ein mitzvah liYisrael. I'll admit it's not a mitzvah for a Jew to have Shabbos on a Monday. That would be an Isser D'oraisa of Baal Tosef, right? Yesh at mikol makom yesh alav mitzvah shvisa Shabbos. Right, it's in the broader category of the mitzvah of Shabbos. So the Baal Yatosos are mechadesh that this principle of lech amidi liYisrael shari ul'oved kochavim aser doesn't apply to mitzvos. Now take a look at the lecha mishnah. Okay. So the lecha mishnah has the following comment. Lecha mishnah Rav Avram Di Botoni was one of the very important commentaries on the Rambam. He lived in the 16th century. Okay. And what he's working on here is the problem that was first identified by the Kesef Mishnah, which in the interest of time we won't look at inside, which is how is it that the Rambam learns, the Gemara said, Nachri Sheshavis, Goy Sheshavis, Chayiv Misa. The Gemara said, Akum Shasek Vatara Chayiv Misa. And the Rambam diluted that. So who gave the Rambam the right to do that? Why did the Rambam interpret it that way? Doesn't the Gemara say that it's part of Giloy Arayos, it's part of Gezel, and there is an Isser Misa for Giloy Arayos and Gezel? So the Kesef Mishnah said, it must be that the Rambam thought that those were Asmachtos. It's not actually part of Giloy Arayos. It's not actually a part of Gzela. Those proofs in the Gemara are really just an Asmachta, and that's very important for the Rambam, because once you say it's just an Asmachta, you can explain two things. Number one, you can explain why there's no actual Chiyav Misa, and number two, you can explain why the Rambam doesn't categorize it with Giloy Arayos and Gezel. The Rambam categorized the problem of Shabbos and Talmud Torah as Klalo Shel Davar Ein Manichanos L'Chadesh Das. That works out very, very nicely. So the Lecha Mishnah is working on a similar issue, and he says as follows. Nearly Tam L'Rabbeinu B'Mashe Kasev De'Ein Nera Galeha. The Lecha Mishnah has a little bit of a different approach. He says, how did the Rambam come up with this idea that a non-Jew isn't actually Chayiv Misa? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says Chayiv Misa. So again, the Kesef Mishnah says the whole thing is an Asmachta. So the Lecha Mishnah says something else bothered the Rambam. Mishum dehuk shelo, mash amru b'perek dalabisa. It's the continuation of the Gemara. Lech immediately Yisrael sharli obiko chavim aser. Da'ika akum sheshavas, ve'akum sheosik v'tol. Yisrael mitzvah akum aser. what bothered the Rambam here is the idea that they could be chayev misa for doing something which a Jew is permitted to do. In other words, a Jew is permitted to keep Shabbos. A Jew is obligated to keep Shabbos. Right? A Jew is permitted to study Torah. A Jew is obligated to study Torah. So how could the same thing be a chayev misa for a non-Jew? Don't we have a principle that there is nothing in the world that a non-Jew can be prohibited from doing that a Jew is permitted from doing? In other words, we have higher standards. That's the whole direction of the Gemara. Lakamidi Tilisral Shari Vobiko Khavimasar. It means that everything, our whole Torah, is for us to have higher standards, not for us to have lower standards. And that bothered the Rambam very much. How could it be that something which is permissible to us, it happens to be an obligation for us, which we saw was a critical point for Tosa, how could it be that that's a chi of Misa? And in fact, the Lecha Mishnah says, "V'atosos hikshu kushizo d'lo amin and hachi b'davar shu mitzvah Yisrael." And the Tosos asked this kasha, and they gave their answer that this principle does not apply in anything which is a mitzvah. But v'rabenu niralo hasvara behefech. He says the Rambam holds just the opposite. The Rambam really holds that this principle applies to mitzvahs. So it cannot be that something which is permissible, leaving aside whether it's a mitzvah or not, for a Jew to do is prohibited for a non-Jew in the sense that it's prohibited and it's an iser misa.
But what that's doing is it's actually concretizing our higher level by saying that. If that's the principle you want to apply, you want to say, yes, not only do we hold ourselves to a higher standard, we hold ourselves to such a higher standard that we don't allow anyone else to perform at our higher standard.
So you're right. Conceptually, one could take that perspective. The Lecha Mishnah does not. One absolutely could. One could. A fundamental reading of the Isser Shabbos and Isser Talmud Torah would lead one in that direction, if you want to. But that the Lecha Mishnah says that the Rambam doesn't buy into this distinction of the Bali Atosos. The Bali Atosos explain that no. Lech immediately Yisrael Shar Li'ovi Kol Chavim Asr means that in matters of personal discretion, matters of Rishus, right, it can't be that something should be an option for a Jew if it's not an option for a non-Jew. But if it's something that's a mitzvah for us, sort of right along the lines of Mark is saying, that we've been called to do this in a particular way, so that could be that this is one of the things that Jews are supposed to do and non-Jews are dafka not supposed to do. But he said the Rambam doesn't subscribe to that idea at all. Therefore, the Rambam couldn't accept the idea that these things could really be a chi of misa for a non-Jew. Because how could it be that they're a chi of misa for a non-Jew if it's permissible for us?
Then it couldn't be anything. In other words, it couldn't be any kind of punishment.
Oh, so very good. It couldn't just be any kind of punishment. It couldn't be any kind of iser.
Yes,
that's the tension in the Lecha Mishnah. Very good, Mark. You took the words right out of my mouth. Okay? Let's just finish Lecha Mishnah. We want to give him a fair hearing in the last minute that we have, and then you could ask that kasha. To Adrabba, to came unto Israel, lo dai shehu mutter, ela afilu mitzvah havi. Right, he's now speaking for the Rambam. This is the way the Lecha Mishnah thinks the Rambam interprets. Since that for a Jew, it's not only that it's permissible, but it's a mitzvah. Shabbos is a mitzvah. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah. Im kein lo havalan les or la'akum bekach. It can't be that it's a real iser for a non-Jew. L'chai vo misa. L'kach mefarish rabbeinu d'haychi of misa midirabanan hu. Ukra asmachta bi'alma. D'lo ahavi azhar gemura d'azhar min ha-Torah leka b'davar shal Yisrael shari. Ukimo sha'amru leka midili Yisrael shari lovikol chavim asar kelomar azhara min ha-Torah. Now, the Lecha Mishnah seems to be saying that the punishment is only a punishment to Rabbanan, and that's why the Rambam interprets, when we said in the Gemara, Akum Shesek B'Torah Chayev Misa, doesn't really mean Chayev Misa. It's at best an Asmach Tabiyalma when they quote Psukim in terms of Arayos and Gezel, because you can't conceive of a Chayev Misa. That would only be the Rabbanan at best, whatever that means in the context of B'nai Noach, because after all, this is something which is permissible for a Jew. But then the question begs itself, if this is really the operating, conceptually speaking, the operating principle for the Rambam, how could it even be prohibited on the Torah level? So the Lecha Mishnah should really go one step further and say the whole prohibition is only a din d'rabbanan, right? And he doesn't quite go that far, unless I'm reading it incorrectly, because he says, "Im kein lo havalan le'esor la'akum b'kach u'lechai v'misa l'kach mefarish rabbeinu d'hai chi of misa midrabanan hu." The Lecha Mishnah goes so far as to say is the chi of misa is a din d'rabanan. He doesn't say that the iser is a din d'rabanan. So it would be a very it would be a point of tension if the Lecha Mishnah would really concede that on the Torah level you could have a prohibition of Talmud Torah or Shabbos for a non-Jew. he doesn't seem to go that far, because again he seems to come back and say chiyuv misa midrabbanan hu akras machta bialma delo habi azhara gemura dazhara min hatorah laka. And when it comes to non-Jews, azharasan zoi misasan, as soon as you have an explicit pasuk, that itself tells you that there's a chiyuv misa. So in any event, the lecha mishnah raises this issue of how could it be that for a non-Jew, something is prohibited, if for a Jew, it's permissible. It's not just permissible, it's a mitzvah. The Bali Tosfos neutralized the problem in their own way, because they say, no, the principle only means that if something is permissible for a Jew, but not an obligation, it can't be that for a non-Jew it's prohibited. So in any event, if the Lecha Mishnah, as Mark put his finger on exactly, is really going so far as to say that even the Isser Talmud Torah really could only be an Isser Derabbanan, because after all, for a Jew, it's permissible and it's a mitzvah. That would be crucial. That would restrict it even further. So just to review what we saw today, we started again by reviewing the Gemara. The Gemara has it. Yeah,
so
go ahead,
Jacob. Was only over an Isser Derabbanan.
It's possible that the Lecha Mishnah has, again, the Lecha Mishnah doesn't seem to go quite that far. He says the Onesh would only be an Onesh Derabbanan. Right, the idea that you could have an
iser without violating something.
The iser would be, the iser would, so to speak, be min haTorah. The onesh would be rabbinically enacted. Because again, how could it be? You could ask the conceptual question: it's one thing that for Jews there could be an iser derabbanan. The rabbis are authorized to create isurim, right? Vishamros mishmarti, asu mishmaros mishmarti. The rabbis are not just permitted; the rabbis are obligated to create siyagim for the Torah. But the rabbis don't have authority over, you know, non-Jews, and the rabbis aren't empowered to create siyagim for non-Jews. So I think the Pshat in Lecha Mishnah is that, no, there's an Issa d'Oraisa for a non-Jew to study Torah. The Onesh would only be a rabbinic kind of Onesh, which is a very unusual category. I mean, what exactly does that mean? But again, it represents a further limitation on the Issa Talmud Torah. So what we started off again was as follows. Yeah, you have a conflict between a statement of Rabbi Yochanan and a statement of Rameir. Rameir said, Akam Shasak B'Torah Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan said, Akam Shasak B'Torah Chayiv Misa. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin resolved this by saying, Sheva Mitzvahs did who versus outside of Sheva Mitzvahs. Rashi said, within their Sheva Mitzvahs, they should have a practical orientation. The Rambam said, no. Within their Sheva Mitzvahs, they can be Osek. Outside their Sheva Mitzvahs, it's a Chayiv Misa, but we're not going to actually enforce it. We should just mock in Oso Ve'on Oso, and it's like keeping Shabbos, and it's like making up your own holiday, or making up your own mitzvah. Klalo Shaldavar in Mani Chinoso L'Chadesh Das. What does it mean that it's by definition a cultic act? Very hard, very, very abstruse. The Meiri took the basic categories that the Rambam was operating with, because he also merged Shabbos and making up your own holiday and Talmud Torah, and he said it's a merely pragmatic issue. The concern is somebody should, you know, think this guy is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the room. This guy keeps Shabbos. He's Jewish, but he doesn't keep any of the mitzvahs. So Yichashu Shehumi Bnei Amenu. It's totally practical. And because for the Meiri, it's totally practical, he can basically, you know, let them learn whatever they... If they want to take on a mitzvah, gizuntahe, let them learn whatever they want about it. If they want to understand their Sheva mitzvahs very well, and the Meiri says, Afal pi shebov gufei Torah nichlalim bahem, they're archetypes, they really speak to almost the whole Torah, gizuntahe, will be mechabed you like the Kohen Gadol. And certainly, if it's in the context of a person, you know, thinking about joining the Jewish people, wonderful. The only problem is, somebody should think that you're Jewish, right? So if you're in a conversion program and you're thinking about it, there's no issue whatsoever. So the Meiri totally pragmatized it. Okay. Then we saw the Radvaz commenting on the Rambam. The Rambam said that if a Ben Noach wants to take on an additional mitzvah, ein monin oso la'sosa kilchasa, we don't prevent him from doing so, which is not as much of a ringing endorsement as the Meiri. We don't prevent him from doing it in accordance with the ways that he should do it. So the Radvaz says, yes, that's true, the Rambam said it, but I would be hesitant when it comes to things that reflect Kedushas Yisrael. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, the three examples he gives. Okay, that's a chumrah of the Radvaz. Radvaz is a Rishon. It's important to be aware of the chumras of the Radvaz. Okay, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says there's a principle, Lek immediately Yisrael Shavi v'Ovid Kochavim Aser. There's nothing that could be permissible for a Jewish person if it's prohibited for a non-Jew. Okay, we have higher standards. It can't be that we hold ourselves to a lower standard. Tosa says, yes, that's true if it's just permissible, but the Torah certainly has a right to say this is a mitzvah for a Jew to do, and only for a Jew to do. There are certain things that are unique to Jews. This principle doesn't... Steve asked the question. This principle doesn't cover Talmud Torah and Shabbos. Steve asked exactly the question that Bali Tosa was asking. The Lecha Mishnah, Avram Dibotone, says that for the Rambam it's just the opposite. The Rambam didn't believe that distinction at all. So when it came to Talmud Torah and Shabbos, the Rambam is bothered very much. How could it be that it's prohibited for a non-Jew if it's permissible for a Jew? Leave alone, you know, let alone that it's a mitzvah. So he says, yeah, that's why the Rambam doesn't think that there could be a real chiyuv misa. And that's how the Rambam comes up with the conclusion that even though the Gemara said chayiv misa, it means chayiv misa, but only in a very loose sense, not on the Torah level. So then the question that you have to ask the Lecha Mishnah is the question that Mark asked. Well, what do you mean the onesh? Who cares about the onesh? The fundamental issue is, could there really be an iser? Could there really be an iser? And if there's not an iser on the Torah level, what does it mean that there could be an iser derabbanan? So that's the issue that you have to raise for the Lecha Mishnah. Is the Lecha Mishnah really saying that the whole issue, the whole Isser Talmud Torah, is a kind of an Isser there? But it doesn't sound like he's saying that. He sounds like the Onesh is an Asmach, that the Onesh is a rabbinic. And that there is some kind of a jurisdiction of the rabbis to prescribe an Onesh Misa, even outside of the confines of Judaism, which is a very interesting perspective in its own right. Okay, so that's what we saw. So next week we're going to pick it up with a little bit of investigation into the sugya and the chagiga and the position of the Baal HaTosfos.